The Church, in her wisdom, sets out weekly readings from the Gospels. These readings allow us to follow the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the story of our salvation. Upper Room Media presents to you the weekly Sunday homily delivered from Sydney, Australia.
Today's Gospel really, for me, is a Gospel about faith. And faith is something that I've always had a lot of trouble with. The idea of faith and believing and truly believing, truly loving, is such an unusual idea for me, particularly growing up. I remember my mum would always say, "Do you believe? You know, do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus?" And I'd say yes, but really I'd think to myself, well, not really. You know, do you love Jesus with all your heart? And I think to myself, oh, I love my family and I love my friends, but the love of Jesus, I don't really understand. You know, do I love him more than them? Not really. And then the Bible would say, you know, so many passages like, you know, just pray and have full belief. Just don't doubt. Just have full belief. And you'd kind of pray and you'd will yourself to try to really believe, but it just doesn't work. Doesn't really work. What does full belief mean? You know, don't doubt. Who really doesn't doubt? And yet we're asked to love fully and to believe fully and to believe truly. But practically speaking, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And kind of growing up, I started to discover that, you know, faith and the idea of belief is not so simple. It's got levels. It's so layered. There's levels of belief, you know. To just believe sometimes doesn't make sense. And so the gospel today really details a lot of these levels and layers of faith. The people come to Jesus, the Jews surround him, and they say to him, "How long are you going to leave us in doubt? How long are you going to leave us in doubt? You know, tell us what, stop leaving us in this limbo world." And a lot of us are in this place. You know, it's not just them that were asking Jesus this question. So many people, when we sit down to pray or we come before God, we say to God, you know, just reveal yourself. Who are you? What, where are you? Why are you? What's happening? Why are you leaving us in doubt? And this is the first step to have faith. We need to be on our knees and before God and to really ask, don't leave us in doubt anymore. Tell us, who are you? And then they say to him, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? Make it clear. And it's what we ask as well. Make it clear. Just tell us, are you God? Is this person that we read about in the Bible God? Is this message the true message? Am I living my life as a Christian in truth? Or am I following something that might be a fable? And they ask these questions, and we ask these questions. And Christ turns to them and he says, I have told you. I have told you. And this is the first kind of experience that we have with Christ and Christianity. You hear it. You hear the word, you hear the story. For some of us, we read the Bible. For some of us, we grew up in the faith. For some of us, our parents taught us. For some of us, we experienced at some level in our lives. And we heard it and we put it to the test. You know, we challenged it. Does it make sense? Does this Christian message make sense? And for me, the message of Christ is one that, you know, is telling us that the God above, the God that created us, truly loves us, and then he wants us to truly love others. So that message makes sense. Academically, that message makes sense. Academically, we start having faith just by reading his word, just by knowing about it, because it is a beautiful message. But this level of faith can be shaken very easily. And for me, it gets shaken very, very easily. Academically, when I apply the logic of Christ and the Bible, and then I have a life experience, or I go through a level of suffering, or somebody smarter than me has a better picture, or you read something that proves that this doesn't really make sense, that can shake your faith so easily. And so that level of faith is not enough. academically knowing, understanding is really not enough. So then Christ turns to them and he says, the works that I do bear witness of me. The works that I do bear witness of me. So it's not just I told you, because I told you and you didn't believe. But the works that I do prove that I am God. That the message that you read about in Christianity is truth. The works. What are the works? Well, the people that were there experienced his miracles. They experienced all of his actions. But they would have also experienced his love. You know, you could just imagine when God healed somebody. He didn't just heal them and kind of ignore them. They would have felt the full presence of God and God's love upon them. And this is what moved so many people. They experienced God's works, his miracles, and his love. And obviously, you know, in today's day and age, we weren't there. So when God says, the works that I do bear witness of me, well, that doesn't really, does that apply to us? Not really. But, you know, this is a living church. And when Christ says something then, he means it now. You know, when Christ died then, I think he also dies now equally. When he dies in the liturgy, he dies as fully now as he did then. And so the message saying the works that I do and the works that I do bear witness of me to them also apply to us. So he's telling us, you need to see my works. Are you seeing my works? And that means, are we experiencing him? Are we really experiencing him? And for many of us, we have these experiences. We have experiences where we prayed to Christ and we saw his hand do something. We saw his hand do something miraculous, something that was unusual, and then we went, wait a minute, that's God. That's Christ. That's Christ working. It might be a time where we prayed for a loved one and God moved a way that we couldn't imagine. And then we apply that to our life experiences and we remember these things. And now we're really solidifying our faith. So that when somebody says to us, maybe this other faith is true. Maybe Jesus doesn't really love you. Maybe the God that created you, it's haphazard. And then you start applying these experiences, the works that God did with you. And he can't shake. That can't be shaken. It is very hard to shake. That level of faith. When you experience God's love, it is very hard to then go, wait a minute, maybe it really didn't happen. And this is a much, much deeper level of faith. And this is somewhere where we're all called to be. It's not easy. I'm not saying I'm at any level of faith there, but I know that we're called to be at a level of faith like this. Still, that is not what we're fully asked to be. That is not going to get us to the point where we pray to God and we have full belief, where the doubts are no longer there. Even experiencing him, because many have experienced but not truly believed. And then he turns and he says to them, the works that I do bear witness of me. This is what proves that I'm Christ. And he says, but my sheep are those that hear my word and follow me. And this is the last level of faith that we need to try to get to. We hear it, we experience it, we know what's happened, and then we choose to follow him. And he says, then you become my sheep. Once you choose to follow Christ, you become his sheep. And he says, of this level of faith, no one can snatch them away from me. Once you become my sheep, I will give you eternal life, and no one can snatch them away. And that is the ultimate level of faith. If you can't be snatched away, that is true faith. No one can come up to you with an argument. No one can come up to us with an experience. No life experience or suffering or intelligent person or incredible argument can work against that. It can't. Because once we start to follow Jesus, we become his sheep. Why is that so powerful? To become his sheep. Why does following Jesus cement us, you know, in his fold? Why? Because I remember Father Jacob saying one time, he goes, no one ever follows Christ and regrets it. And he's had thousands and thousands of people come in and out of his church. No one. And for me that was powerful, because so many times you think to yourself, well, I really want to get closer to God. I really want to do it, but I don't want to sacrifice the fun or the good times, or I don't really want to pray because it's annoying. I don't really want to do all these things. And if I start doing that, am I wasting my time? Will I regret it? No one has ever regretted it. No one has ever regretted following Christ. It's never happened. And why? Because once you do that, God gives you something beyond anything that you can possibly fathom. In this same chapter, he says of his sheep, he's talking about his sheep, and he says, I came to give my sheep life, and I came to give them life abundantly. So obviously, once you start following him, once you become his sheep, you start to experience a love and a life that is more abundant. And that is something that you would never give up. You know, you start to experience God, not just academically. We start to experience God in his love. And then when we start to follow him, we become his sheep. And he promises us eternal life on earth and in heaven. He promises us life and life more abundantly. And this is what we all need to strive for. I personally pray to be at this level. I pray to become one of his sheep. So that way I can really, truly follow him. And this is what we're all called to be. Today is the Feast of the Cross. At the time, it was also something called the Feast of Dedication. So the Feast of Dedication is Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is when, in about 165 BC, the Jewish temple became desecrated. Syrians came in, they destroyed everything. And then they started worshipping their gods, Baal or Zeus, in the temple. So it was completely, it's kind of like the worst thing that could happen if somebody came to our church and then started doing demon worship or something along those lines. A few years later, there was a revolt and they took back the church, took back the temple, the Jewish temple, and they started to worship God again, and they cleansed it and they purified it, and that became Hanukkah, and Jews celebrate that today. But today we celebrate the Feast of the Cross. The Feast of the Cross is a message beyond all of that. It's not just the cleansing of our, you know, the church, the cleansing of our hearts. It's following the cross. So I hope that we all learn to have more faith, learn to deepen our faith and to follow the cross. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.